With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Welcome back to the V Show. I'm James Strebel, and joining me here momentarily will be Big Easy Zach McCright. He's going to have some takes for us, taking some time out of his day to come join us. We'll have Mitch Barnhart live here around 2:30, talking UK athletics, and we'll react to that as we listen to the UK athletic director talk about the start of football season. Fall camp starts tomorrow for the Cats. Fan day is on Saturday, August 3rd. So if you're a UK football fan, you want to get some autographs with players and coaches, head out to fan day. Pat, you had something that you wanted to kick off the hour with. What you got, big boy?
All right. So I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
Do you know who the individual is sitting behind me? There's an individual sitting behind me in the studio right now. I want to see if UK Honk Brown Father can tell us who this individual is sitting behind me. He's our secret intern. Well, not really secret.
I'm thinking he's a UofL athlete of some kind.
All right, you're a little warm.
He's a football player.
You're a little warm. I'd say you're hotter now.
I'm hotter now. What position does he play?
I ain't telling you that. Hey, you should know.
He looks like
a
running back or a wide receiver.
You're close. He's one of those.
Is it? It's not Day Williams, is it?
No, it is not.
It's not Day Williams.
Yes, it's Day Williams.
Is it Day Williams?
Yeah.
I'm right?
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Okay. You see, I'm a Kentucky guy, but I know my UofL players. That's right. Hey, Day Williams. Hey, Day, would you mind taking a picture with my little guy over here? All right. Very cool. All right.
Wow, what a pivot.
UK Homer has son take picture with UofL football player. I like it.
Yeah. I got to get him exposed to these legit D1 athletes, man. I gotta introduce my son to greatness, once in a while when I see it.
Now,
so,
if I remember correctly, and Day, tell me if I'm wrong, are you from Oklahoma?
Yep.
Whereabouts?
Tulsa.
Tulsa, okay.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay, all right. So I worked in Oklahoma City, so I was about an hour away from there working for the franchise. Actually, there's a station called the Franchise in Tulsa as well. There are two sister stations. So, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, there
those are
go.
The voices of Zach McCray, Big Easy. How you doing, man?
I'm good. The BOK Center in Tulsa. You probably went to some concerts there, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see. What else I got in Tulsa? The Center of the Universe.
Yeah, there you go. That's
Yeah, see,
nice. Two things you got in Tulsa.
That's right. And the Will Rogers Museum, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Now I've hit the trifecta.
Easy dropping some knowledge, this Oklahoma knowledge on
that's
us
right.
here this
that's
afternoon
right. yep.
in the V Show.
Ran into, got into, I wouldn't call them fights, but verbal spats with Bob Stoops on more than one occasion.
You did?
Yeah. Ask him hard-hitting questions, and he gets, he
bristled.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Bristled.
He's a bristler.
What did you ask him?
I
want to know.
I don't even remember.
It
was specific to that team. Some of it was like the arrests that were being made on that team, and some of them were of the sexual allegation type.
Oh no!
And it was like, okay, this guy's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he clear?
Is he good?
How we look? I don't care. I mean, if he's clear, let's go. Fire away.
Right.
And if he's not clear, you're confident. What? And he just didn't like answering those questions. And I didn't care which way he answered. I'm all about innocent until proven guilty. So
right.
You want to play him, that's fine. But he just didn't want to. He didn't want to. He wanted no part of that stuff.
You're just doing your job. You're doing your job as a Big J journalist. asking him legit questions.
I don't know if it's Big J journalist.
Big J, yeah, you could take that mantle. Big J journalist, Zach McCray, asked him legit questions.
Little J radio honk. That's what we call him.
That's call what I am, guys. Little J radio honk. That's me. You swing a bigger stick in the radio world than I do. That's for sure.
I didn't know that we were going to, let me get into this.
Okay.
The communication around ESPN Louisville. Did y'all have any idea I was coming in?
No, not one bit.
Did you?
I had heard a rumor, but I thought you were going to join me in like the first hour. See, the info that I got was you would join me for the first hour, and then in the second or third hour, Perrin Johnson would be in here.
Oh my gosh!
So to my surprise,
so I would have come in here with Perrin.
Yeah.
So Nick, of course, you know, he's texting me back and forth, and he asked me a couple days ago. So on Monday, hey bud. Easy. Heard you were milling about. Ha ha. Would you be able to fill in for Pops on Thursday? I text him, hey man, I may be able to pull off an hour, but can't do a full show that day. Sorry. He said, that'd be perfect. Strieble is in as host. And then text me yesterday, just confirming, are you able to join Round Daddy tomorrow? I said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The later, the better. And he said, 2 p.m. it is. Thanks, man.
Not once was that reiterated to myself or James.
I'm listening to the station, you know, while I'm at work. I'm listening to the station, and I listen to your first hour, which I would like to react to if you'll give me
please, absolutely.
He says, and I don't hear any. I was like, I wonder if they know that I'm coming, because I didn't hear. You know, he's been teasing things coming up, and I didn't hear my name, which is fine.
The reason being is I had no follow-up at all. That was the last I heard of it. Nobody said anything, so I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Par for the Nick Valvano course.
Yes.
So I just texted him at 1 o'clock. I said, do they know I'm coming? And he texted, yes. So I went ahead and came over. had he said no to that, I probably wouldn't have come. I didn't want to, you know, burst in on you all.
Right.
But
that was a lot.
Yeah, right? So I don't know. But anyway.
What did you want to react to in my first hour?
First off, let me start here.
Yes.
This whole – you all are both wrong on UK – on you all trying to be some sort of neutral show today.
Yeah.
All right? Let me continue on this. Let me banter. You're a Kentucky guy. You have a Kentucky website. You blog ad nauseum about the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yes, and tweet.
Screw anyone who wants to call in or text in or tweet in and say, oh, great, UK stuff. Be yourself and do the UK stuff. Do it.
Thank you.
Be a UK honk. Be you.
All right.
They asked you to come in. This station asked you to come in. They know where your biases are. The listeners should too. If they got a problem with it, they can switch. But no one here had a problem putting you on the air.
Yeah.
So you do you, and everybody else will deal with it.
Thank you.
I'd rather you do that than fake it.
That's a great
right.
That's a great point. No, so you're right. You're right.
You can hammer U of L. And you can be positive with UK. You do whatever you want. And if you want to hammer Cal Perry for a minute too, that's fine too. Whatever you want to do. I'm glad. I would prefer it be that way.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when I come in here, I can jab back.
Yes. And I'm glad you're here, because you can jab back.
All right. So let me start here. And I'm going to be fairly, I'm going to be tame. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But let me go with UK football.
Okay.
Really quick.
We'll start there.
All right. Compared to last year, is the Kentucky defense going to be better? Let's just start with yes and no, and then we can start to break it down afterward.
Okay. No.
Okay. The Kentucky offense, is it going to be better?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a reason behind that.
All right, go ahead with your reason.
Okay, the reason behind that is the Kentucky offense was built around Benny Snell. You're not going to score a ton of points when you're running Benny Snell for the majority of the game. I think it was tailored more towards his ability as the best player on offense. I think this year, since you don't have that security blanket of Benny Snell, let's run the clock out, let's chew up time, let's wear down the defense, you don't have that security blanket, you're not going to score a lot of points playing that kind of football. That was the they had a defense conducive to that type of offense where you just kind of play keep away.
That's where I think the answer is.
Yes.
They played the offense based on their defense.
Yes.
They didn't play the offense because it was the best way for them to play offense. They played offense because
the defense was so good.
It was most conducive to their defense.
Yes.
And otherwise, the defense created their offense and not the other way around. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, and that's why I think the offense – is going to be better this year because I think they're going to have to break out the playbook a little more and score.
Okay.
And I think the point total is going to be higher.
Okay. That leads me to my next question.
Okay.
What makes you believe that the Kentucky offense last year had the weapons, since we rarely saw them,
mm-hmm.
had the weapons all along to throw the football, but just decided not to?
I don't think it's all about throwing the football. I think when you have – you're going to have three running backs that have three different skill sets. And depending on the defense they play, I think you could play a specific style.
Do you know these other running backs that have these skill sets? I don't.
Yes. Yeah, A.J. Rose, Christopher Rodriguez, Kavassier Smoke. A.J. Rose is a big guy. He's more of a – fast speed back.
And we saw a little bit of him last year, right?
Completely different from Benny Snell. Chris Rodriguez, redshirt freshman coming in. He's more of a Benny Snell type.
Okay, so you know this guy, this Rodriguez guy, you know him.
Yes.
You've seen him play.
Yes, he got into games. He scored a touchdown last year. He got into games.
Okay, I must not remember.
He was still able to keep his redshirt because, you know, that new rule.
Yeah, so many games.
Yeah, right. Same thing with Kavassier Smoke. He got in last year, scored a touchdown, showcased some of his ability. He's more of a he's 6'1", 225, but he's really fast. He's got open field speed, again, something that Benny Snell didn't have. Benny Snell's greatest attribute and his greatest weapon was his ability to just beat you down in the fourth quarter and kind of thrive off of contact. You don't have anybody like that. You have three very different running backs, and I think that leads more options for the Kentucky offense. Now, I'm not insane. I'm not going to sit here and say the Kentucky running game is going to be better without Benny Snell. Like some people said, Louisville's offense is going to be better without Lamar Jackson. When that, we were like, I'm not going that far. But I think there's going to be more of an opportunity for Kentucky to score more points because you don't have Benny Snell as the centerpiece of your offense. That's where I'm approaching
so,
from.
A Benny Snell who, by my count, had three 100-yard rushing games in the SEC last year.
I'd have to look that up, but okay.
It wasn't like, in other words, I didn't think he was like,
he rushed for 1,000 yards. He rushed over 1,000 yards. And put the death knell in Penn State?
Benny Snell. No argument there. Penn State, no argument.
Killed him.
No argument.
Killed him.
UK's game against Penn State, I would argue, was their best of the year. Some people would argue. Some people would argue Florida. Some people may have an argument in the middle of the season somewhere, maybe. Maybe had they beat A&M, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my thing is all civil UK fans, you being one of them,
yes,
are saying 7-5 and 8-4 are reasonable predictions for Kentucky.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So you're admitting, by default, you're admitting there will be some step back relative to last year.
Oh, 100%. Okay. They're not repeating 10 wins.
Okay,
in my
so why is 6-6 so unreasonable?
I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think 6-6 is unreasonable. I think I'm higher on 7-5 than I am 8-4.
So if a UofL guy comes on here right now and goes, UK is going 6-6 next year, I mean, that's my prediction. And they give you a bunch of reasons why. You're not going to come in here and go, come on, man.
No, what I'd say come on, man, too, is what I saw earlier that said it's more probable that Louisville goes 6-6 than Kentucky wins 9 games. That's when I would say, okay, come on, man. That's where my argument would be.
I could probably I could probably go with that. I would just say that there are a lot of UK fans out there that, you know, we'll use this word again, that will bristle at anyone who has a 6-6 prediction for Kentucky. Now, granted, you know, a lot of this stuff, and you know this as well as I, but a lot of it depends on what every team is returning.
Yes.
You know, which is why, and I got some brushback whenever I said this about Louisville basketball. I had the same conversation about Louisville basketball. I'm like, I don't get all the hype, but a lot of people are saying it's a step back for all of college basketball next year. A lot of talent left. I don't know that to be so. That's just what everybody's telling me. I don't look that deep into it. Right. So, and maybe that's why Louisville is still kind of hanging up there. I was all about, you know, Kristen Cunningham. He's gone, and he was kind of the oil for that engine.
Oh, they made him go. Absolutely.
And now he's gone, and I mean, and now, I mean, even this week, Luke Hancock's not sure if Fresh Kimball's even going to start, you
exactly,
know, at the point
yeah,
guard position.
That made big news.
You know, so I don't know if UK's that good, but I'll digress on that. Not knowing what everybody else has, the UK defense, it's the same story with UK, in my opinion. The UK defense let the UK offense run the ball.
Yes.
That's not going to happen this year.
No.
The nickname Touchdown Terry is in itself a contradiction.
Yeah, that's
no
true.
One has put Touchdown and Terry in the same sentence other than to call him Touchdown Terry, which is a contradiction of a nickname.
Look, the first two games of the season, I called him Turnover Terry. I'm not going to lie.
Right, right.
I did. He had more turnovers than touchdowns. I had nowhere else
and
to
because,
go.
It, well, okay, and that and therein lies my point.
Mm-hmm.
We all assume that now the throwing game, Turnover Terry is going to turn around into Touchdown Terry this year because he has to throw, by God.
Yeah.
How is that? I don't understand. Are you getting texts from friends?
No. I'm looking
how
at UK
that
football schedule. That's how I'm going to counter this.
I see.
I'm going to counter
and
with the schedule. I'm going to read it to you.
The schedule is fair. Yeah, there are four automatic wins on that schedule. No doubt about it.
More than four automatic wins.
Okay. And this is where another thing. I'm going to brush back.
Okay.
This team that was so good last year, 10 wins. There is no doubt. Okay, I do not argue with anyone that this team was good last year.
Mm-hmm.
That included a 14-7 win against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And a last play of the game win against Missouri, which, by the way, was the only game in which Kentucky trailed in the second half and won.
Agreed, yeah.
So now you're going to trail a little bit more in these games this year if the defense isn't that good, which means Turnover Terry is going to have to light it up. And he never had two last year.
He did one game against Florida. Florida.
Okay.
He had a really
okay.
good game. No,
I'll give you.
If you're gonna, if
that was the game,
that's the game. If you look at Terry Wilson, you look at it and you say, what can give me one spark of hope that Terry Wilson can and will come in and turn it around and be a solid SEC? I'm not saying great, but a solid SEC starting quarterback. You look at Florida, and here's why I'm so high on 7-5 or 8-4. Here's the Kentucky's wins, okay? I think our wins. First game of the season, Toledo, win. Second game of the season, Eastern Michigan, win. That's two right there. Arkansas, terrible last year. 2-10, awful. That's win number three. I think also you get win number four with Tennessee Martin. Those are four, in my book, pencil them in guaranteed wins. I think Kentucky beats Vanderbilt because last four seasons, Kentucky has beaten Vanderbilt. You have...
But again, and this is where I just brush back just a little. Kentucky's taking a step back. Now, I don't know about Vanderbilt and whether they're taking a step up or step back, but I can't go off of, well, we beat them four times in a row.
Right. I understand
that. You know, look, I wouldn't bet against Kentucky in that game. Fair.
Right.
But, you know, you got Vandy and you got Louisville.
South Carolina.
And you got South Carolina and you got Missouri, and I get it, but they're
State.
All kind of, I feel like they're all toss-up games. Based on what's returning for Kentucky. And here's where it really bothered me.
Okay.
All right.
And I want to get to the crux of this.
This is where it's...
Where did it bother you?
Okay. And this is why I want you to be UK guy. Just be... Embrace it. Be UK guy.
I will do it.
And you did it for a minute. Somebody hit you up on the text chain when talking about Louisville basketball. And they said something to the effect of, you know, I think you said something effective, what makes them so good this year? And somebody texted in very bluntly and said, it was like, well, it's a combo of what's returning and a great recruiting class.
Percentage of returning players, recruiting class. Yes.
And you fired back. Well done. And you said, outside of Jordan Wara, who was really good for you last season, I'll wait.
Yeah.
And I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good line. Why won't you use that same ideology when talking about Kentucky football?
Because I'll tell you
what. On defense, you got Cash Daniel. On offense, you got Lynn Bowden. Who else you got returning that was great last year? I'll wait.
Okay. I'll tell you. Okay. Defensive line is about as deep as it's ever been. They get everybody on the defensive line back from last season. That was a really, really good defensive line. Linebacker, okay, you're losing Josh Allen. You cannot replace him. You lose Jordan Jones. He's really good. But you've got guys like Boogie Watson. I got mixed up with the ESPN guy. Boogie Watson is coming back. He was really good. You have Chris Oates, a true freshman last year, stepped in and played for Cash Daniel when he was suspended against Texas A&M and lit Texas A&M up. He had one of the better grades as a defensive player for Kentucky in that game. So your linebacker.
Okay, if you're gonna give me those guys, I'll grant you those guys.
I got more.
You have to grant Louisville fans a Stephen Enoch or something like that. That's your equivalent.
But they
is
were,
it not?
No,
it's Enoch not came in and had a handful of bang up games last year.
Yeah.
Just like you. True. I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay. The difference is the team with Stephen Enoch got knocked out by Richard Pitino. That's the difference. Kentucky won 10 games. I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games again, but I'm saying they're going to at least be good. Okay. And on offense, you've got a center on the offensive line that's up for the Remington Award and Drake Jackson, preseason All-SEC. You've got Landon Young returning, who's a five-star kid, Army All-American, 6'7", is going to be the anchor to that offensive line. You've got Logan Stenberg, has a chance to be All-SEC. You've got Lynn Bowden, obviously. You've got three running backs that all showcased something last year that you saw that made you go, oh, wow, Kentucky might be all right in the running back position.
You said, with U of L basketball, you said, give me great.
Lynn Bowden's great.
Got it. Okay. Lynn Bowden, I'm all in.
Okay.
Lynn Bowden.
The offensive line has some great players. The defensive line has some great players. Drake Jackson was all SEC last season. He's returning. And if you want.
What team?
Huh?
What team all SEC?
He was, I believe he was first team. He's first or second team all SEC at center. He was. He was legit all SEC center last season. That's why he's on the Remington
offensive
award.
Line, I'm not going to quibble with that.
They're really good.
Offensive line.
If you have an offensive
line. I got offensive
line
and Lynn Bowden, and you can get and the rest of them, as far as I'm concerned, you can throw in a hat.
You have offensive line, they're able to open up holes. Hell, I could run through them. They were very good. Now, pass blocking, I addressed that. That's a concern. I think that improves with your left tackle being back. Your starting left tackle back. I think their passing pass blocking gets much, much better. The run blocking set. That's why I have so much confidence in Kentucky's running game still being good. Maybe not as good as it was with Benista, but still could be really, really good because you have three guys that are big, fast, and strong. You have a quarterback in Taylor Wilson.
Without Benny Snell.
Yes.
This offense will be better than last year.
I said they'll put up more points than they did last year. I didn't say they'd be better necessarily, but I think they'll put up more points.
Well, I mean, you are, they I averaged like 18 points a game last year,
it's
right?
It's not that hard to put up more than 18 points.
I know. So, I mean, I hope that they're better than 18 points a game.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And again, I think the defense dictated a lot of that. Because you could play keep away last year.
I agree. Yeah. I would just be curious that. I'll put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody gave me an over-under of 7, no, I'll say 6.5. If somebody gave me an over-under of 6.5, I would take the under.
Okay. I think that's fair. I'm not going to blast you for that.
And I don't think – and that is while also being agreeing that they might be favored in more than 6 games this year. I'm assuming they will
you
be.
You would think, yeah.
I'm assuming they will be.
Because you take your three non-conference bum teams.
Louisville.
They'll be favored over Louisville.
Arkansas. I mean.
Probably favored over Vanderbilt. But the thing that's weird is, like, when you get into the Missouris and the South Carolinas and teams, they just – and this is why I have
it'll
a problem.
It'll be based on the results up to that point as well.
Right. And this is and tell me if I overreacted to this at all. And maybe I did as a UK honk. when the SEC media just defaults and puts Tennessee, Missouri, and South Carolina ahead of them in the standings, and I got not like enraged about it, but I was kind of like, come on. I mean, what does Kentucky have to do for you ever to not put those teams ahead of them? And this is a 10-win team. They're returning a good, maybe not all their starters, but a good number of starters on offense. Defense, the secondary is really the only spot in defense where I'm concerned. I think defensive line were fine. Linebacker were fine. Yeah, you have some
questions. How many are they returning on defense?
On defense starters, I'd have to look.
Three?
More than three.
And remember, Johnson's out. Or am I blanking? What's the corner's name that got hurt?
Oh, Devontae Robinson. Yeah, he's out. He's out.
So if you're not counting him.
Yeah, this is before he
I understand. So well, you can count him in terms of this argument.
Right.
But, I mean, four? Maybe?
But everybody else is losing people, too, so they just get the pass.
I don't know.
Drew Lock.
I understand.
And they don't. They get the bump. Why do they get the bump? And I understand why. Because Kentucky has the stigma of being Kentucky football.
That's part of it.
And I get it.
That's part of
it. I do get it.
They say, you know, there needs to be validation to a 10-win season when you lose two-thirds of your starting defense.
Yes.
And the bell cow of your starting offense.
Yes.
There has to be some sort of validation that you can do this again. And until then, you know, Kentucky football is going to get that, you know that brush aside by the media and the coaches and whoever else votes.
Yes.
You know, you have to prove it more than 1 year, especially when a lot of people have left.
Stoops has to prove that he can reload.
Yeah.
Stoops has to. He's not yet proven that. Now, he's gotten better every season or stayed the same every season. He's not yet proven that he can reload. He's going to have to prove that, especially in the secondary. You've got to show me that the red shirts and the JUCO transfers that you have coming in are able to step in and fill out. Because they're able to do that at Alabama, and they're able to do that at Ohio State and Clemson. I'm not saying that these players are anywhere near those players, but the reason these teams have sustained success is because they can plug in new guys and just go. You have to prove to me, Mark Stoops, that you can do that, especially in the secondary, since you're a secondary guy, you're a secondary defensive guy. If you want people to buy into your program, you want to use the chip on your shoulder and kind of like maybe brush that aside eventually and say, look, people believe in us now. We need to believe in ourselves too. You want to get that chip on your shoulder off, then reload and give everybody else
Absolutely.
A reason to put you ahead of Missouri and South Carolina and Tennessee. I get it completely.
I'll go a step further. If Stoops can win eight games this year, then or maybe it depends more on just the finish in the division. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Is top two in the division?
Yeah.
By chance?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're able to do that this year, that is enough validation for Kentucky football to start being, in the eyes of most recruits, in my opinion, a contender for a long while, somebody that I think a 17, 18-year-old would go, yeah.
I want to be a part of that.
This is a building. This team is building. Mm-hmm. And they are on the uptick for more than one season. I'm in.
They've already got
some of that because Stoops hasn't, you know, I mean, he's won 6-7. You know, games every year. I mean, so there's already been a little bit of that. But now you have the 10-win season. Now you got to back that up.
Yes.
One time.
Yeah.
And if you can do that with half of your starters combined on both sides of the ball being gone, I mean, that's in my opinion, would be more of a feather in a cap than a 10 wins last year.
What they did last year. I can get on board with that because you're right. You do that with everything that you lost, including two all-time great players. And that's what Benny Snell and Josh Allen are. They're two all-timers. You lose two all-timers and you can win eight games. You go 8-4. That's an achievement. That does tell me, yeah, we're here. We're not going anywhere. Maybe that tells everybody else the same thing.
I agree, but again, if that is the comment, if that's your take on that, mm-hmm. then 8-4 would be quite the achievement with this group.
Mm-hmm.
Then my point is, being 2 wins off of that, a 6-6 prediction by someone else should not be unreasonable by any stretch.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, and that's more for UK fans
yeah.
than it is for you specifically.
But you're right about that. There are some UK fans out there that would get pissed off if you told them that UK was going to go 6-6.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to get mad. Everybody at this station, when that does those records in that ESPN Louisville football magazine that comes out and does those predictions, not a one of anyone here is going to have Kentucky at 6-6. And a lot of that is schedule based. I get it. But, you know, I know you lost to A&M last year in overtime. That could have been an 11th win. I think I could throw at least two more back at you that could have been losses, could have very well been losses.
Oh, they could have lost to Missouri easy.
Missouri on the last play.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, and there are games that could have gone the other way too. You know, I think if you don't get the luck of the draw this year on last second plays, or maybe Terry touchdown Terry has to take you the length of the field in 2 minutes to win a game, and you don't win it, maybe that happens a couple times, and maybe instead of in those one possession games, instead of going 2-1 like I think you did last year,
yeah,
maybe you go 0-3
or 1-2,
right, or 1-2, and now all of a sudden it just doesn't look as good as last year. And by the way, I think there'll be more
close games
games than there were last year.
I think you're right, because I don't think they're going to step onto the field in Mississippi State and do to them what they did to them in Kroger Field last season. I mean, they stomped all over Mississippi State last year at Kroger Field. I don't think you go there and do that. Now, I don't think a lot of Mississippi State. It's the exact same reason why you're bringing up about Kentucky. They're losing a ton, right? They're losing Nick Fitzgerald. They're losing three defensive linemen that are all in the NFL right now off that starting defensive line. So you're right. There are a lot of questions. But, again, people give Mississippi State the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, Mississippi State, we'll put them.
They've had the validation.
Fourth in the West. They've had validation before, even though they're losing all this. But Kentucky
loses
it.
They've had that reload validation.
Before.
Right, before.
With Dan Mullins, though, that's another thing that people don't take into consideration. There's at least some continuity with Kentucky as far as coaching is concerned. They're not replacing a lot of people. They're replacing a defensive coordinator. But, again, Stoops is like the de facto defensive coordinator anyway, so I don't think you're losing a ton there. Whereas Mississippi State's year two with a brand new coach. But, again, they get the validation. They were in the top 25. I think they're like 13th. Or something. That's what they were in some, like, in the top, not in all the top 25s. I'm like, based on what? Again, what are you basing that on? You're basing Kentucky's going to stink and take a big step back. Maybe not stink, but take a big step back. But yet you're telling me Mississippi State is going to be top 25.
Right.
Tell me why. Tell me what the disparity, what the difference is other than program history. That's where I'm coming from with all this.
Oh, I totally agree. Program history has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And I think if you do. If it happens this year that Kentucky football has, you know, like you said, an 8-win season or something like that, then I think you start to see some of the pundits in these preseason polls from this point forward, while Stoops is still the coach, go ahead and give you that that bona fide, never going to waver from top three in the SEC East until he's gone or whatever.
The college football stamp of approval.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, and all I know, right. and by the way, this is another thing with Nick Valvano, getting back to the beginning of our story here.
Yes.
When Nick Valvano told me, come at 2 p.m. it is. Then on my way over here, I hear Patty, I say, Mitch Barnhart, 2:30. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So I don't even know if he's coming up.
Let me talk to our producer here. What's our status here, Pat?
Producing on the air, we're having a hard time finding a way to take the press conference. Magic and I are searching all across the internet and having issues doing that.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I'll take Big Easy. I'll take you, man, to the end of the show.
I don't have
to take Mitch Barnhart.
Oh, no, take Barnhart. Take Barnhart if you find it, because
okay.
I bet you, and I don't know this to be so, you would probably know more than me, I bet you he's going to address the alcohol stuff.
Oh, I want to hear that. I want to hear the alcohol stuff.
Something's going to happen.
We had
there.
A conversation about that.
That's right.
Last time we were on last Friday. Pat, you want to take a break so you could work on that while see if we can get any streams going? We'll take a quick break. We'll come back here. We've got Big Easy here on the V Show. I'm James Strebel. We'll have Mitch Barnhart hopefully when we come back. If not, Big Easy and I will continue our banter. This is ESPN 680, the V Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the V Show. I'm James Strebel. I'm joined by Zach McCrite, Big Easy. Having a little trouble finding a Mitch Barnhart stream, but we do have probably the most important announcement, and we'll get to that momentarily. I want to read a couple of texts, 437-9680, the UPS jobs text line. I've been spamming the 810 WHB text line with Big Easy Sucks to make Anderson feel at home. That's awesome. Given Jason Anderson a little taste of 680 now that he is in Kansas City and basically doing his dream job is what he's doing. Y'all are blowing up everyone's speakers. Fix your mics. I think we're mics fine. We're just two loud, bombastic individuals. I think that's all that is.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing for you. I just sit here and talk.
Same here.
Blow V8.
I'm not on the mic fix crew, so we'll just go from there. So that's coming down from the UPS jobs text line 437-9680. It's not us, says our venerable producer Pat Jaggers. Game set match to Easy. I guess that was somebody that agreed with your football stances over mine, which is good. I enjoyed the banter. All right, Zach McCrite, Big Easy. Last week, you and I co-hosted The Zone, well, formerly known as The Zone, together last Friday. And one of our discussions was over the SEC alcohol policy and how the SEC told all the schools, look, if you want to sell alcohol in your stadiums during football, basketball events, whatever, you can do that. It's a school-by-school basis. We've already seen a few schools take advantage of that, LSU being one of the latest ones to do so. I was of the belief that Mitch Barnhart was going to say, thanks but no thanks, everything's fine as it is, no alcohol sales for Kentucky. You took a similar stance, but you said eventually down the line.
Yeah, I think eventually there's going to be
alcohol
sales.
Well,
I'll say within the next 3 years. I think I told you 3 years.
Yeah, you said last time within the next 3 years. Well, it's officially announced by Mitch Barnhart it's not happening this year.
Right.
So I'm not shocked at all.
Yeah, I'm not completely shocked. I would like to hear his reasoning. I don't recall. Well, I feel like the last time he talked publicly about this, and he wasn't, you know, whenever the SEC said, hey, we're going to allow it, it's up to the individual schools, whatever. I felt like in that spot that Mitch Barnhart talked a little bit about the reasons why they wouldn't do it. And you correct me if I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. I felt like some of those reasons were personal mm-hmm. for him in nature.
I from what, again, this is from what I understand, from what I hear from people that are in Lexington, Barnhart is what you'd call a teetotaler. He doesn't drink, he doesn't, you know, it's not part of his lifestyle, which is fine. I think a lot of his personal conviction has to do with the fact that UK is not going to have alcohol sales at Kroger Field this year.
Yeah. That's what would bother me,
yeah,
if I were a Kentucky fan. If his main reasoning, or the reasoning that he's just telling the public, even if it's not the true reason, the reason he's telling the public is, hey, look, this is what I believe. If it's all I believe this and this and this about alcohol as a whole, I would reject that as a Kentucky fan, and it would piss me off.
Yeah.
And the reason is that you're in the money-making business. Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, B, this program is not going to be, you know, it's our program.
Right.
The collective Commonwealth's program.
Mm-hmm.
For you to portray your personal beliefs about alcohol onto the entire university is borderline irresponsible, in my opinion.
I agree.
But if it's a different reason, which I hope it is, and I almost would assume it is, if it's a different reason, fine. Just say that reason. Like, I don't know.
But see, my belief is that what we're saying right now, that he doesn't drink, he doesn't really like alcohol, he doesn't, it's not part of his lifestyle and his behavior. he's going to use, I'm sure, I haven't read any of this or heard any of this at all. I was too, and Zach, and it's not easy to find, but I would assume he's going to say something to the effect of it's not conducive to the family atmosphere that we want to present here at UK at our sporting events, and it's just not part of our DNA and who we are. I'm sure it's going to be something like that, but yet again, I've talked about this in the past. It's okay for your big buck donors to sit up in their suites and in their lofty towers and get boozed up on your dime, not on their dime, on your dime. Like UK, they don't pay for the alcohol. UK provides the alcohol and everything for them. They can go ahead and drink until they're fall down drunk puking in the suite.
Right.
But the plebeians, they don't get to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the poor folk.
Make it universal.
Yeah. Either have it or don't
make the rule universal. Kyle Tucker tweets out, the question was asked of Mitch Barnhart, is this alcohol decision final? Barnhart said, quote, this is the decision, unquote. Says it's not closed forever, but he's not revisiting this every year, and points out, quote, this was my call, unquote.
Boom. That's irresponsible. I like Mitch Barnhart. I think that Kentucky Athletics is better off with him as the athletic director than it was even under C.M. Newton, because you have every program on that campus – barring a couple, are all relevant. They're all relevant now. That's thanks to Mitch Barnhart. This is a huge flub on his part. This is a big miss on his part. This is that drives me nuts. This is akin to, and I hate to compare him to this person, but I have to, because this is the same type of deal here, right? When you're talking about personal convictions, this is the same thing as when Matt Bevin goes on a radio show and says someone kills themselves every year in a casino or whatever the hell he said, that was just completely asinine and ignorant on his part, just because he doesn't like gambling. Because personally, he doesn't believe gambling is a good thing for your soul or whatever it is. That's fine. You want to believe that, that's fine. Don't go up there and make us some stupid stats and throw them out there that are complete lies. I'm not saying Mitch Barnhart's lying about anything, but he's using his personal convictions to make a decision that affects thousands of people.
Here's another tweet from Kyle Tucker. Mitch Barnhart says college athletics have to figure out the finances as expenses go up and attendance declines, but, quote, alcohol is not an answer, unquote.
Then what? Okay, fine. Then what's your answer? What do you have? What else are you offering? And this is something that we got into as well, Zach. Is what else are you offering the regular Joe fan? You're already taking their parking passes away. You're already screwing up their seats. You're already making things more expensive. So, okay, then that's fine. That's fine. Alcohol's not part of your plan.
Find an answer.
Tell me what's part of your plan.
Right.
What's part of your plan to get butts in the seats then? Because he's right. Attendance is declining, and that stadium's not going to be chock full for every single game. It's not. Now, when Florida comes in there, it's going to be full. Okay? I'll tell you that right now. Other than that game, what other game's going to be full? I don't know. Maybe the first game of the season, just because it's the first game of the season, they're falling up a 10-win. What's your plan, Mitch? If alcohol's not a part of your plan, then tell me. Maybe he's doing that right now. I don't know. But those remarks really tick me off.
Yeah, and I would be less strong on this if he's eliminating alcohol everywhere. But like you said, it's kind of like that's not a good look. You can drive a wedge in any fan base if you allow some people to do something, but other people – it's not allowed. You can drive a wedge through any facet, any faction of any sort of base. I kind of like the Matt Bevin thing too. That's another great example, you know. And by the way, with Bevin, I'll just say this since it's sports related. I can't think of another thing. I'm in Indiana.
Me too, citizen. By the way.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I grew up in Jefferson County all my life. When my wife and I, a week before we got married, we bought a house in New Albany because the property tax. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm right on the border of Sellersburg there. I'm in Andy Sweeney territory.
So am I.
Oh.
Are you on County Line Road?
I am not. I'm off of Charlestown Road. I'm right. I'm like right past that Meyer.
We're very close.
We are very close.
Off of Spring Street in downtown New Albany.
There we go. Hey.
And look, this is good radio, isn't it?
This is great radio.
Where Indiana do you homers. Live?
Yeah.
I live off of County Line Road.
Okay, yeah.
Right off of Charlestown.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm a sports fan, right? So, I'm not a big political guy. I don't know if my guess is I'm in the minority when it comes to this sort of point of view. But when he gets on the sports angle, you know, my ears perk up. And if I lived in Kentucky, my ears would perk up probably even more. He probably would have lost my vote just with that comment. I'm not even kidding. And that's very narrow-sighted. But, like, dude, you live in a state where horse racing is king. Probably not a good idea to say gambling it causes suicide when horse racing is king.
Not only causing suicide, but people are killing themselves in the casinos.
Right. Which may, like you said, earlier, maybe that stat's right. Keep it to yourself. You know. Don't ever repeat that. You know, we've got a lot of stuff here that people that your economy is helped very greatly by gambling on sporting events. You know, mainly horse racing.
Yes,
probably need to keep that stuff to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. The coaches poll just came out. Switching topics just a little bit here before we have to get off the air. Coaches poll. Came out, Big Easy. Have you seen this?
No.
All right. Kentucky is not in the top 25, which is, I understand, but they got 79 votes, so they're in the others receiving votes
Where
column.
Where at? How far down?
They have 79. Nebraska, 152. Boise State, 118. Mississippi State, 111. So they didn't make the coaches poll, so okay. They made a lot of other preseason polls. Miami's getting 94 votes, Army 91, and then Kentucky getting 79 votes.
So like the eighth or ninth receiving team?
One, two, three. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, not outside close. Of. Yeah. Okay. Top 25, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State. I got no problem with that top five. Followed by LSU, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, Texas. Got some issues with Notre Dame and Michigan. Texas A&M, Washington, Oregon. I'd put Texas A&M in the top 10, but that's just me. Oregon, Penn State, Utah, Auburn, Wisconsin, UCF tied at 17. Iowa, Michigan State, Washington State, Syracuse. Syracuse getting a lot of preseason love. Stanford, Iowa State, and Northwestern rounds out the top 25. So that's your coaches poll, top 25, which was just released the first of the season. And Kentucky, again, getting 79 top 25 votes. So you win your first two games of the season. They'll probably be flirting around even closer to top 25.
Yeah. I mean,
you win. You go to beat Toledo, beat Eastern Michigan, go 2-0. You'll have other teams at top 25 lose, drop out. You can see them top 25 before they play Florida.
Perhaps.
Possible.
Yeah, it's possible. It depends on a lot of those teams that are not in the top 25. If they beat, if they have a big coup win that leapfrogs them over Kentucky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm with you. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, my whole thing, and I talked a little bit about this last half hour, but my whole thing with Kentucky is for every game that you barely won last year, do you have the ability to barely win those games this year? And for the games that you barely lost last year, A&M being, I think, the only one, you know, are you able to keep that number at one of the one possession games? I think there's going to be a lot more close games for Kentucky this year. And the question becomes for me, A, can you hold on in those games? And then the biggest question of all is, can UK's offense win you more than one game? Like, I'll say, if you want to count Penn State, two games,
okay.
Florida and Penn State.
Where
the offense, I thought, you know.
Was good.
If you didn't have a top 10 defense, you might have still won those games.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, fair. Yes.
Do you have some of those games in you this year? And I don't have – you do, but I don't know if I've got any evidence that proves to me that they do. Thankfully, the schedule is what it is, and you're going to get some wins anyway.
Yes.
But I don't have any proof so far that the offense is going to be able to pick up the slack that the defense is going to be giving up by taking a step back due to graduation.
And loss. You fall in the line of the majority of people, and this is what I'm obviously the outlier UK honk, but you join the majority of people with those legitimate questions, saying, "Okay, I have to see it." Me as a person that, and I'll be honest with you. Before I wrote the preview this year for the ESPN 680 preview magazine for UK. Before I sat down and looked at the roster and the schedule and I started typing up the players and everything else, I was more probably lower end 7-5, even closer to 6-6. I flipped after writing that. And that's just because I sat down, I got it in my head.
Actually did all the research.
Exactly. That I was like, oh, wow, this isn't as bad as maybe I thought it was. Now, a lot of that is just, again, UK homerism kicking in at this time of the season saying, well, I can... We all do it every year, right? As the season gets closer, our optimism starts to blossom
absolutely.
Even more.
That's one of the main reasons sports is great. I mean, we get to traffic during the off season. We get to traffic in hope.
Yeah,
we get to everybody's 0-0, and there's optimism everywhere. My thing is, and look, it happens to me too. I'm an Indiana guy, and it happens to me too. We always look at what. The positives for our team are, and we don't ever give our opponents that we will see during the season that same leeway.
No, you're dead on.
Like Vanderbilt. Like Vanderbilt's a great example.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we talk about Kentucky. Kentucky's going to beat, look, yes, they may have lost some stuff on defense, but look at Cash Daniel. Look at this guy. Look at that. You got Lynn Bowden back. You got touchdown Terry back. You got offensive line. It's great. And you put all these positives out there for such and such team. All right. Well, what about Vanderbilt? Well, I mean, Vanderbilt, we've beat them 4 times in a row. Maybe they've got a lot of stuff coming back. Maybe more so than Kentucky. I don't know.
Vandy fans are going to tell us while we're wrong, we're not believing in Vandy.
Right.
They're going to tell us the players. Before we get out of here, real quick, Indiana's football schedule go. Or record. Oh, IU's God. Football record go.
Terrible. I don't know.
Hey, Jack Grossman, our boy, he's up there in Bloomington right now, and he's saying, watch out for the Hoosiers.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm James Strebel. He's Zach McCright. I'll be sticking around for about 10 or 15 more minutes before Perrin Johnson gets in here, and I'll give some more hot takes on the other side. I want to thank Big Easy for coming in here and hanging out with me. Thank you, Pat Jaggers, for producing. Thank you for everyone listening and texting in. I'm James Strebel. See you on the other side.
Listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
Looking to try something different tonight? Pick up a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon aged in bourbon barrels. Robert Mondavi, Private Selection, brings you this unique flavor combination made possible by California winemaking craftsmanship and the rich tradition of bourbon whiskey aging. Concentrated black cherry, blackberry, sweet vanilla, and toasty oak. Look for this deliciously different limited release item from Robert Mondavi, Private Selection, in the wine aisle today. Please enjoy our wines responsibly. Robert Mondavi, Ocampo, California.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
A lot of the settings that the other stores were offering were kind of generic, and I wanted something special, something unique and individualized for my wife to be.
Meet Josh Logan, singer and former contestant on The Voice. When he and his fiance Olivia looked for engagement rings, they kept seeing the same old styles everywhere until they discovered Genesis Diamonds.
I was able to get Olivia the ring that she wanted, the look that she wanted, at the budget I could afford, and the unique ring that we both wanted.
It's a spectacular oval diamond in a setting by world-renowned designer, Simon.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.